Thank you, Brother Eddie, for pronouncing my last name correctly. 99.9% of the time, it's not what it should be, but I appreciate that. It's Alvarenga. You got to roll those. No, I'm just kidding. Alvarenga. He said it perfectly. Appreciate the opportunity and the invitation to stand before you this afternoon. And it is afternoon, and I just hope and pray that none of you are saying, now I sit me down to sleep, the sermon's long and the subject's deep. If he should quit before I wake, somebody give me a little shake. Trust me, it is a challenge to stay awake after lunch. And I say that from my own experience. When I was a student at the school preaching, lunch, and then all of a sudden you're studying the book of Revelation, and you feel like you're in the fourth dimension there. It's really hard to stay awake. So I just hope and pray that you will stay awake at least for a few minutes, as we consider God's Word this afternoon. Now, most of the time I preach in Spanish and Wednesdays and Sundays. And every now and then, you know, I do a gospel meeting or a lectureship in English. If you ever heard somebody speak in Spanish, I mean, they're like Speedy Gonzalez. I mean, they're going fast. You try to understand, you know, what they're saying. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 19, I think it is the passage where it says that we are to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Well, I'm going to challenge you to be quick to hear, because I have problems being slow to speak. But anyhow, we're going to try our best to cover, and I really appreciate Brother Hicks giving me 2 hours to cover this topic. So I'm just kidding, okay? Those of you reaching the end of your seats, just stay there. It's going to be just a few minutes. But it's a very, very important topic that we will discuss. And I really appreciate all the speakers and the great job that they have done. I got to hear some of them, and as I finished my lesson, I have to head back home. I have to head back to real life, back to work. But I have been edified by the lessons that have been presented, and I am confident that is the case with you. And so, as we learn more from God's Word, well, let us put to practice the things that we learn. Let us apply to our lives those great and precious teachings that we find in the Scriptures, so that our lives can be transformed in a positive way, and so that we can be a blessing to as many people as possible. But I also want to thank the elders and Brother Hicks for extending the invitation to be part of this fine lectureship, and I pray that it will continue for many more years, and it will continue to edify the lives of so many, as it has been the case for the last 26 years, if I'm not mistaken. I love the Gospel of John. It's one of my favorite records of the Gospel. It places so much emphasis upon the deity of Jesus Christ. The central theme of the book is found in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And throughout the 21 chapters, 879 verses, in a very subjective way, because if you do not count the textual variants found in the Gospel of John, then it's not 879 verses. But anyhow, in all these chapters, again, you know, we find so much emphasis upon the deity of Jesus Christ, and also we find emphasis upon great lessons that we can learn from the life of Jesus, and the great lessons that he taught his disciples. And one of those great, great lessons that he taught was on brotherly love. In chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, that's where we find the text that was assigned to me. And if you have your Bibles there, we can go there. If you don't have your Bible with you, see me after services, and we'll do a special collection to buy you one. And we come here with our Bibles, tablets or whatever that has the text of the Bible. But notice, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By these all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so, question is, why is a topic such as this one, if you have love for one another, so important? Well, it is a relevant topic. Just take a look at, just listen to this. Oh, I hate you, brother. I just can't stand brother and sister so-and-so. I mean, if they attend services in the morning and not in the afternoon, trust me, I will be there when they are not there. I just cannot stand them. I hate them. You probably heard expressions where a brother is insulting another brother, or a sister is insulting another sister. And then yet when you ask them, you know, so if you can't stand one another, if you cannot see each other in the same place, how are you going to do it when you get to heaven? And they're like, well, if they are there, there will be problems in heaven. I got news for you, brothers and sisters. There will be no problems in heaven, because neither one of them will be in heaven, as we shall see at the end of this lesson about the terrible and eternal consequences of not having love for one another. And so this is a very, very important topic to discuss. But even gospel preachers are affected by this lack of brotherly love. You know, it was about 20 years ago when the Spanish department started at the Brown Trail School of Preaching. When that department started, I was so sad to hear the comments of so many gospel preachers in the area that did not wish the school well. They did not want the school to remain. They did not want the school to be there. And that was so sad. Only a few gospel preachers took the time to actually call Brother Willie and say, Brother Willie, we are so thankful that an opportunity where all the courses that are being taught in the English language are now being taught in the Spanish language, and that gospel preachers that speak, you know, primarily Spanish will enjoy that opportunity to study God's word in their own language. Only a few gospel preachers that I can count with just one hand, well, actually with only three fingers, were able to express that. The rest of the gospel preachers, they just started talking, you know, bad about the school. One of them even said that we use mechanical instruments there at Brown Trail. Another one said that, you know, that I had divorced my wife. So many awful things were being said against the school of preaching there, the Spanish department. And that is so sad. Again, even gospel preachers, once again, can be affected by the lack of brotherly love. You know, I appreciate, you know, the preaching schools represented here and throughout all the lectureships that take place in our brotherhood. And, you know, schools of preaching are not in a competition level. You know, we are working together for the same goal. That is to win souls for Christ. That is to lead as many souls as we can to heaven. And so we are to work together. We are to love one another. We are to have that kind of love and not think that we are superior to my brother or to my sister in Christ. That is what Jesus Christ had in mind when he was commanding us to once again love one another. As we consider the Gospel of John, you know, starting at chapter 13, we see Jesus emphasizing, encouraging his disciples to love one another, to work together as a team. You know, he provided so much encouragement throughout the last chapters of the Gospel of John, because the disciples, the apostles, were about to undertake one of the greatest responsibilities ever, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were about to One, preach the gospel. Number two, assist in the edification of the Church of Christ. Also, number three, assist in the edification of the Church of Christ and help the congregation grow spiritually and also in number. But this was not going to be possible if they did not have the right attitude one to another. If they did not have the kind of love for one another, this was not going to be possible. But thanks be to God that their mentality changed, that their attitude actually changed, and they were able to work together for the same goal, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. But also, as we think about the need for brotherly love, there's so much emphasis in the New Testament regarding brotherly love. And when you ask the question, why is that the case? Why, throughout the 27 books in the New Testament, do we find so much emphasis upon brotherly love? Well, we can consider the historical context of the New Testament. The church was composed of Jews and Gentiles. Remember how much they love each other? Every time they saw each other, I mean, they hugged them. I mean, they gave a bunch of kisses, you know, everywhere. No, that was not the case. They hated each other. Now, think about this. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles, they were able to be reconciled one to another, to be one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16 talks about that, how through through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they were able to be one in Jesus Christ. Now, they were able to worship together in the same place. They were able to express their brotherly love one to another, because Jesus Christ was the one who came to change that. And we're so thankful for that. And that should always continue to be the case, that we can, you know, work together and love each other in such a way as to fulfill that great commandment. And so in this lesson, we will consider briefly five positive consequences that will come if we have love for one another. Number one, if we have love for one another, we will follow the example of Jesus. Number two, we will obey the command to love one another. Number three, we will allow the world to know that we are disciples of Jesus. Number four, we will be able to serve one another. And finally, number five, we will be able to secure our eternal salvation by doing so. And I'll explain more about that when we get there. And so as we listen to these words, let me borrow the words of Jesus in Luke 9:44. Let these words sink into your ears. And also the words of James chapter 1 and verse 22. Let us be doers of God's word and not hearers only. And so, number one, if we have love for one another, then Jesus' example of love will be imitated. If you have your Bible, notice in John chapter 13 and verse 1. John 13 and verse 1. Notice what the text says. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is one of my favorite verses in the Gospel of John. Jesus loved his disciples not for a few weeks, not for a couple of years. He loved his disciples to the end. And so here we have a great example by Jesus, provided by Jesus, that we can imitate. We need to once again have the same kind of love that Jesus had for his disciples. And as we consider the Gospel of John or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can see how Jesus manifested or expressed his love for his disciples. You know, he taught them the Word of God. He spent time with them, teaching them the Word of God, helping them to be the kind of people that God would have them to be. He taught them the Word of God. He enrolled them in the best preaching school ever. Not a 2-year program. This was a 3-year program. JCSOP. I would have loved to have been a student at the JCSOP, Jesus Christ School of Preaching. He taught them the Word of God. He showed them the Word of God. He showed them how to preach the Word of God. I mean, he did all of these because he loved them. He loved them so much. He also provided for their physical needs. I don't think there was a day when they didn't have something to eat. He provided for their food, for their physical needs. Even when he actually provided, you know, food for about 5,000 men, and disciples also ate there. When he provided food in different locations, the disciples ate as well. He also gave them words of encouragement. John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be." Words of encouragement from Jesus Christ. He also was very patient with Peter, James, John, Judas Iscariot. He showed them so much patience because he loved them. He cared for them. How much patience do we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Some of us, not much. But we need to work on that. We need to work on that. Jesus had patience for them. He also prayed for them. John 17. He forgave them. Peter denied the Lord. Again, you know, Jesus forgave the apostle Peter. He gave his own life for the disciples, for the whole world. And by doing so, he showed that greatest love that we can ever imagine. And so when Christians fail to practice this kind of love, you know, once again, we are not imitating the example of Jesus. And remember, I'm not here to let you know about those passages you already know. But we have so many passages throughout the New Testament that encourage us, that commands us to be imitators of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:1. We have the Apostle Paul saying, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, "Be imitators of God." When we imitate God, we also imitate His Son, Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 5, "Let this mind, let this attitude, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We are to follow in His steps. 1 Peter 2, 21, "We are to walk as He walked." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, and we are to follow His example. So again, if we have love one to another, then we will follow the example of Jesus. But number two, we have about an hour and a half now. If we have love one to another, then the command and exhortation to love one another will be obeyed. Now notice in chapter 13, verse 34. 34, "A new command I give to you." A new command I give to you. And we already know what the word command basically entails or the definition. It means that which is authoritatively commanded, that which must be obeyed, that which must be followed. And so throughout, again, the Gospel of John, and also in other books of the New Testament, we find the exhortation and the command to love one another. Again, keep in mind, Jews and Gentiles, They needed to hear that. It was challenging for them to practice this. And so they needed to hear this over and over again, just like we also need to hear this over and over again. John 15 and verse 12. John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Again, Romans 12, 10. Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And that love one another is found in the imperative mood, which denotes a command that must be obeyed. And I recognize that at times, brothers and sisters, it is challenging to practice these verses, right? There are times when we find brothers and sisters in Christ who do not want to act in a Christ-like way. They don't want to act as Christians. And there's the challenge, but we also need to be mindful of the command to love one another, to exhort one another, to help one another be the kind of Christian that God would have us to be. And so, again, if we have love one to another, then we will be able to obey that command that Jesus has given us to obey. And remember, when a command is not obeyed, then sin comes to that life. And so we do not want to be guilty of sin. Remember Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Death. And so we don't want to be guilty of Romans 6:23. We want to obey Jesus Christ in this command. But also number three, if we have love one to another, then the world will know that we are true disciples of Jesus. The entire world will be able to know that we are disciples of Jesus. We need to be in the business of allowing the world to be able to tell that we are disciples of Jesus. You know, in Acts 4:13, when Peter and John were in Jerusalem preaching the gospel, the Bible says there in Acts 4:13, the last part of that verse, they recognize that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They recognized them. And even when Peter was denying the Lord, remember? You are a disciple of that man. You are a disciple of Jesus. People were able to tell that they were disciples of Christ. Well, the entire world needs to be able to tell, brothers and sisters, that we have been with Jesus, that we are true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what do you think is going to happen if the world does not see love being practiced by the church? Well, several things will happen. Number one, many people will not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people will not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You probably know about so many cases, instances where non-Christians express the reasons why they do not obey the gospel. Well, brother so-and-so, you know, Mr. so-and-so, whatever, you know, did this to me, or he's not acting as a Christian. You know, he's not following Jesus. He's a bad example to me, and I don't want to be another bad example, you know, by becoming a Christian like he is. And so he refuses to obey the gospel. He's discouraged from obeying the gospel because of that bad example. So people will not obey the gospel if we do not have love, brethren. Number two, the church will lose its power to reach out to the lost. And the church will not be able to love others. Remember, in Mark 12:31, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. But if we do not have love, we will not love each other, much less love our neighbor, or those in the world. And so the world, again, needs to tell the huge difference between Christianity and the world. You know, when Jesus was preaching in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, also at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, 28 and 29, after Jesus completed his lesson, he finished preaching, the Bible says, the Bible records the following words, "And they marvel at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Did you see what happened here? They marvel. We got two. We got Jesus Christ, and then we have the scribes, and then we have the people there in the center. They marvel at his teaching, Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. So say they were able to tell a huge difference between the preaching of Jesus and the preaching of the scribes. That needs to take place, brothers and sisters, or our gospel preachers in the audience. People need to tell the difference between our preaching and that of the denominational world. And it is so sad that today you can't tell the difference anymore among some preachers who do not want to preach the Word of God. And so they were able to tell the difference between Jesus and the scribes. Well, the world needs to tell the difference between our practice of love and also, you know, what the world does. And so we have a great challenge ahead of us, brothers and sisters, to practice that kind of love in our hearts, in our lives. And our practice of love will be a great blessing to the church. For example, you know, the first century church, they were successful at preaching the gospel. They were successful at evangelism because, I mean, they practiced love. They fulfilled the Great Commission, which, sadly to say, has become the great omission in some congregations where no evangelism is being practiced anymore. But that first century church, they practice brotherly love. For example, in Acts 2, 42 through 46, we see the church enjoying that fellowship with one another, helping those who are in need. And then in Acts 2, 47, the text says, "And praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church or to their number such as were being saved." Notice, having favor with all the people, they were able to tell the difference. You know, they were able to see a great thing that was happening among Christians in the first century. And that's why they were able to, once again, have favor with all the people. And we need to do the same thing, brothers and sisters. Now, the result of their obedience to God, their love for God, their love for Jesus, their love for evangelism, their love for souls, their love for their neighbors, the result was a very positive one. They started to grow in number. Acts 2:41, about 3,000 souls. Acts 4, in verse 4, about 5,000 men. Acts 5 in verse 12, the number continued to multiply. Acts 5 in verse 28, they had filled all Jerusalem with the doctrine. Acts 6 in verse 7, priests were obedient to the gospel. Acts chapter 8, the gospel is preached in Samaria. Acts 8, 12, men and women are being baptized into Christ. Then we see the Ethiopian eunuch being baptized into Christ. Then chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Chapter 10, we see the conversion of Cornelius, the Gentiles. 11:24, 12:24, the number continued to multiply. The word of God continued to increase. Chapter 14, the same thing. Chapter 17 and verse 6, they had turned the world upside down because of the way they were living their lives. They had brotherly love. They had faithfulness in their lives. They loved the Lord. They loved souls. And when you put all those things together, great things will happen. Didn't hear any amens. Great things will happen, brothers and sisters. And so let me encourage all of us to have that kind of brotherly love. It was this particular congregation in, I was about to say in Texas. We are in Texas. But this particular congregation, for matters of national security, I cannot tell you which one, but they were having some internal problems. They needed a preacher. They didn't have elders, so they needed to hire a preacher. And they were the men of the congregation. You know, they kept having meetings, and it was taking too long to get that preacher to come in and to help them. Well, the entire congregation, you know, got unease. They got really upset, and in the middle of a worship service, the lack of brotherly love was manifested. They started screaming at one another. They started saying awful things to the men of the congregation for not, you know, making a decision right away to bring somebody. And they just started acting like the world. The saddest thing about this, and this is a true story, because I talked to the family that did this. They had been, this particular family, members of that congregation, they had been working with this family, non-Christians, for several months to invite them to come over to worship services. And that particular Sunday, that family of about five said, okay, we'll go. They came over. Bible class, everything's okay. Worship service. Middle of a worship service, all those awful things started happening. That family of five stood up and left the building and never came back. And they told the family that was working with them for months, trying to encourage them to come and worship with them, they said, don't ever, ever invite us to worship service at your church. That is sad, brothers and sisters. When brotherly love is not in the church, it's not being practiced by Christians, awful things will happen. Souls will be lost. And that is so terrible. And so I hope and pray that we can see the great importance and need of obeying the command that Jesus gave us in John 13, 34 and 35. And so as a church, let us worship together with the spirit of love within our hearts. If we do not have love for one another, we won't be able to worship our Heavenly Father acceptably. And so let's do that. Let's help each other when needed so that we can be an example to others. Let's spend time together in fellowship, Acts 2:42. Let's be of one heart and one mind, Acts 4 and verse 32. Let's pray for one another, Acts 12, verse 5. At the house of Mary, they were praying. Several Christians gathered together to pray for Peter and other things. Let's encourage one another, Acts 11:23, Acts 10:24, and to love and good works. Let us be hospitable to one another, Acts 16 and verse 15. Let us forgive one another, Acts 9:26 through 27. And so if we do these things, brothers and sisters, we will be able to promote, to cultivate, and to increase in that kind of love that God wants us to have. Number four, if we have love one to another, then we will be able to serve one another. In John chapter 13, verses 1 through 15, Jesus provided a great example. He washed the disciples' feet, not to institute a command for the church to be able to do that, you know, in the worship services. And I say this because one particular gospel preacher said, if we truly want to be the New Testament church, we need to start implementing the washing of feet in the congregations. Just think about, in a congregation of 200, how long will it take to accomplish that? Because every single person, every single Christian must do that. It will take us several hours. But they don't get the point. That's what happens when you don't take the time to study hermeneutics exegesis, to consider, you know, the bigger picture, what Jesus is teaching here. You know, when Jesus was washing Peter's feet, Peter said, "Lord, what are you doing? Are you going to tell me that Peter didn't know what Jesus was doing?" Peter knew that Jesus was washing his feet. And then Jesus said, "What I'm doing right now, you do not understand." That is, the practical lesson that I'm trying to convey to you right now about servitude, about love, about caring for one another, about working as a team. That practical lesson you do not understand right now, but you will. You will understand that. Because remember, James, Jacob, and others, James and John, there were times when, who's going to be number one? Who's going to be the best? You know, they had those kind of problems. They needed to learn to serve one another. They needed to learn to practice that kind of love. And so when we actually follow and obey the command of Jesus to love one another, then we will start serving one another. I don't know, you know, how it is in the American culture, but you know, in Spanish-speaking countries, in some Spanish-speaking countries, when the gospel preacher is there and there are no elders, he's it. He's the Titus of the congregation. He's the one that will give orders. He's the one, you guys need to serve me because I am the preacher here. And so that's the kind of attitude that some of them have, you know, combined with, you know, machismo. They call it, I'm a man, you know, and this is the way it needs to be. No, brothers and sisters, that's not the way it is. And then others in the congregation, and I have experienced all of these. I have seen all of these in my preaching time that I've been able to do so. Other Christians who are rich, they have a lot of money. And they will not do anything for the church building. They will not do any cleaning. They will not do any taking care of the lawn outside. They will not do any of those things. And that's what happened at a men's meeting. Everybody got their own responsibilities to do the cleaning of the building. And then this rich member, he said, "Oh no, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to do that." And so he didn't want to do that. And so we don't learn to serve one another, brothers and sisters, when brotherly love is not present in our hearts. And so let's serve one another. And finally, I'm not going to use the 2 hours, brothers, just 1 hour. If we have love for one another, our eternal salvation will be secure. Now, in order for us to secure our eternal salvation, obviously, we have to obey the gospel. We have to remain faithful to God. We have to do what God says. We need to be active in the kingdom. We need to work. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We need to do all of these great things in order for us to be able to secure our eternal salvation. We need to work in our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and verse 12. We need to take care of ourselves and what we teach, 1 Timothy 4:16. But let me tell you one thing. A person, for example, a gospel preacher, can preach sound doctrine his entire life and still be lost in hell. Brother or sister in Christ can do many other great things in the kingdom of God and still be lost eternally if we do not have love for one another. If I hate my brother or sister in Christ, if I mistreat my brother and sister in Christ, heaven will not be my eternal abode. It will be hell. And let me prove it to you. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 John. 1 John. If you ever read this wonderful letter, which was penned by the same author that wrote the fourth Gospel of John, the Apostle John, it tells us so many great things that I believe that there are times when we read this letter, We just read that verse so fast, we don't think about it. We don't think about the words and the teaching that's found there. And so let me tell you throughout the Gospel of John, and I'll start with John 13, what the eternal and terrible consequences will be if we do not have love for one another. Number one, the command is not obey. And if the command is not obeyed, John 13:34, then we have sinned against God. Number two, the world will not be able to tell that we are disciples of Jesus. Number three, our lives, one will live in darkness and will be blind if he hates his brother or sister in Christ. 1 John 2:9-11. Now, number next, one is a child of the devil if we hate one another. 1 John 3:10. Can a child of the devil make it to heaven? The answer is no. One abides in death. 1 John 3:14. One is a murderer. 1 John 3:15. One does not have eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. One does not have the love of God abiding in him. 1 John 3:17. One does not know God. 1 John 4:7-8. One does not have God abiding in him, and God's love has not been perfected in him. 1 John 4:11-12. And then one is a liar. 1 John 4:20. If we hate one another, that will be the case. We will not be able to make it to heaven. And I hope and pray that we can make it to heaven someday. But it requires for us to have love for one another. I have always appreciated my brothers and sisters in Christ who have taken the time to encourage me to continue living a faithful life. Terence Dindy, 24 years ago, I preached my first sermon at the Brown Trail School of Preaching as a student. I was very nervous. He was the first one, and you know, he probably don't even remember that. But he was the first one to approach me and said, "Brother Willie, that was a great lesson, Brother Willie." And then he kind of gave me a hug. And you know, and that stuck with me for 24 years. And I can assure you that I can be, if the Lord allows me to be 70, 80, I'll still remember that. I still remember all the great words of encouragement that I have received from my brothers and sisters in Christ. Take the time to tell your family, your spiritual family, that you love them. Don't be embarrassed to do that. Tell them that you love them. Pray for one another. And may the Lord help us to increase in that brotherly love that Jesus commanded us to practice. God bless you and love you so much, brethren.